Now, I've got a couple of things I'd like to place up here. And you might wonder what I'm going to do with them. And I thought maybe the flashlight, in case somebody gets sleepy, I'm going to put that spotlight on them and wake them up. And in case I'm a little long-winded, I brought a snack. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm prepared. I'm ready. I do want to thank my brothers and sisters at during the Sunday school hour and also during the special for their talents that they offered up to us today. I don't have those talents and skills. I really don't. In reading to evoke emotion within the reader and the listener is a talent I don't have. To sing with beauty and to be eloquent, to even carry a tune, I don't have. But as a member of this body of Christ, I share with you, and the Lord looks within my heart and measures the desire that is there. And I think that's what He measures in each of us. But as they sang, as they read, thoughts came to my mind, and I'm sure they did you, of a Savior that had a purpose, He had a mission, He accomplished, and He triumphed. Seeds were planted in you a long time ago, either from the preached word, the written word, from songs, from readings, from prayers, from testimonies, from witnesses. Seeds are planted each and every day within each of us. And I want to talk to you about your responsibilities in planting seeds. And it is a responsibility that we all share. I'd like to turn in your Book of Mormons to page 194, the Book of Enos. And I find here a very simple, humble young man that sought truth. Sought truth, page 194. He sought truth, well, we'll talk about what he sought truth for. But I look at the commission of this body of Christ, this church of Christ, what we are called to do, and it makes me a simple man because we are called to take this gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. How do we do that? How do I do that? How do you do that? In the Book of Enos, this simple young man had a problem. He wanted to draw close to God, to know in his heart that his sins were forgiven, to draw close to his Creator. And he sought God, not just for a brief moment, not just in a kneeled prayer, but he sought God for, what, says a day and a half? Well into the night he prayed until he received his response. And he felt his sins washed away. Felt them removed. And the question he asked God, how is it done? And I look at what we are called to do as a body of Christ and we ask, how is it to be accomplished? And Enos asked that same question, how is it done? By his faith in Christ. That's what Enos was told of God. By your faith in Christ, this will be accomplished, and it must be accomplished by this body of Christ, by this people that are called. Enos prayed first for himself, he prayed for his loved ones, he prayed for his enemies, and he prayed for the preservation of a book that we read out of today. And we have his witness, and it is a seed. It is a seed that has been planted. And what we do with it is our responsibility as it grows. But how is it done? Enos received that answer. And the questions that bug us this day are answered in the same way, the same vein, by your faith in Jesus Christ, by your willingness to seek Him, by your willingness to draw close, to be a part of this work. It is accomplished. A seed sprouted. Turn to Alma, the 17th chapter, page 441. And as I said, this was a simple man with a simple request, and he received a simple answer. And we this day complicate our lives. I complicate my life by what I carry around in preparation. Sometimes I should run with Steve and accomplish it a lot quicker. But the two of us make a pretty good team. Spiritually, you and I make a pretty good team. Some of you have those talents and skills. I have yet other talents and skills. I think most of them are yet to be discovered. But they're there. I know the Lord has placed them within me. And as I am willing to seek Him, He'll draw them out. He'll draw them out of you also. But simple requests, simple answers must be made. Page 441, Alma, the 17th chapter, verse 68. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Now, there's some silver hairs out here. There are some people that have been in this gospel almost as long as I've been alive. And there are some out here that have all their hair. Very young. Different ages, but we are all young in Christ. We are, those silver hairs don't know everything of Jesus Christ. They're still seeking to learn and to grow and to build. We are all young. We are all youthful in Jesus Christ. Learn in your youth. Learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God, yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Now this is where it begins. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Do you put that to the test wherever you find yourself in this life? To my shame, I don't. But I need to ask, would Christ have me here? Would Christ have me doing this? Would Christ have me partaking or sharing of this, cluttering my life? Let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let all the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, in all your plans. Not just when you find yourself in a hard place, but in all your plans for the future, counsel the Lord in all your doings. Is He faithful? Yes, He is. Does He support? Yes, He does. Does He deliver? Yes, He does. But it's according to His will. Enos sought an answer for how long? Till the Lord answered him. Counsel the Lord in all your doings. Wait upon Him to give you that answer. But don't be weighed down without taking a step that you know to be right. Don't hang back. Take that step. But counsel the Lord. Ask Him to open up the right doors. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and He will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that He may watch over you in your sleep. And it goes on to say, when you rise up in the morning, do the same thing. Ask that He bless you and help you and strengthen you. And as you continue throughout the day, into the night, continue to be drawn out in prayer continually. We're to take this message to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. But it takes individuals that are committed to do that. It takes brothers and sisters that are willing to make a sacrifice. But one of those songs that we sang, it said, after you've placed everything on the altar, God asks no more. What did Christ ask of us? A broken heart and a contrite spirit. Broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's all He really wants. Turn to Joshua, the 24th chapter. Joshua, the 24th chapter. Again, not one of my talents. I get tongue-tied. Joshua, the 24th chapter. And I'm going to read a verse that I know you all know. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. They found themselves in a land. And they had been touched by other gods along the way. They had been tempted. They had been weighed down. And Joshua here brings them up short and says, choose this day. The gods you knew, that your fathers knew, the God that was in this land that has been cleansed for you. Choose this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a choice. He planted a seed. Well, that seed had been planted in him a long time ago. And it welled up and came forth at this time. And he said, this is what I choose. He wasn't afraid to tell the people that. Down to verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord. Isn't that a peculiar statement? You cannot serve the Lord. For He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. You can't come in and you can't expect to take up your work, to follow after, to rub shoulders with the world. You can't bring that along with you. He's a holy God. He will not forgive. He won't allow sin. Verse 20. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt. Once you've had light within you, if you turn from that light, what's your end? Far worse than what you started out with. If you serve these strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, He hath done you good. Those of you that have entered in by the right way, that have taken up the work of Christ, those that have had seeds planted and have blossomed, have brought forth, and have a knowledge, if you turn from that, Joshua tells us that better watch out. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves. I can't police your lives. You can't police mine. You are witnesses against yourself. Those that have entered into the covenant with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through baptism and laying on of hands, you are witnesses against yourself. You're held accountable. I'm held accountable. Those that are contemplating need to know this. Witnesses against yourself. That ye have chosen the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. Do we answer the same way this day? Was the message that was delivered to this people on this continent the same? Turn to Alma, the 5th chapter, verse 17. This is on page 323. Alma, the 5th chapter, verse 17. Not exactly the same words, but the same Spirit. But behold, the Spirit hath said this much unto me, saying, cry unto this people, saying, repent ye, and prepare the way of the Lord. You have to prepare that way within your heart to know it, to respond to it, to make it walkable. You have to prepare the way. You can't run before that preparation is made. Repent ye, and prepare the way of the Lord, and walk in His paths which are straight. Each of you are different. You're different than myself. We come from different backgrounds. We have different strengths to draw upon. We have different talents and skills. We have different paths. But there's only one way. One way. And as we are drawn together as a body of Christ, as we latch on to the truth that is within these books and the revelations of God that stand the test, as we latch on to these, we call that the rod of iron. And as we hold tight to that rod of iron, we find that your path my path begin to merge. One way, and that's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are different paths. Each of you have special temptations. I have different temptations. And it's up to us to cleanse those paths. Each of us. We're to take this message to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. How do we do that? Turn to 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter. This is on page 110. Before we ask the question, how do we do that? We'll talk about that gate. Verse 79. Oh, then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that His paths are righteousness. You have to make right choices to be righteous. Over and over and over again, you have to make right choices. Can you make mistakes? Sure, I do. You do. But it is up to us to maintain that path that we have entered into that leads to the one way is cleansed. That we're repentant. That we come back to that true path that has been established by who? You sang about Him today. You remembered Him in readings this day. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has walked His path. To come back to His path. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. One way back in to the presence of God once again. Turn to Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 18. Proverbs, there it went again. Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, I turned on this flashlight, and you can see the spot up there. Has it diminished any bit since I first turned it on? Well, fortunately, it didn't quit. Has it diminished in brightness? Yes, it has. It's a good battery. It still looks the same to you and I, but it has diminished. This power is finite. Do you want to eliminate the path that you find yourself in this world? Well, in the 18th verse, it talks about the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. To that day that you are judged. This battery and this flashlight will not take on power. But as you begin to exercise right choices, spiritual right choices, you will find that your light is made stronger in Christ. That those things that you used to stumble over, that used to pull you out of the way, it won't trouble you near as much anymore. Near as much. The gray hairs that we have that have been in this Church of Christ for a long time are stronger. If you ask them, they'll tell you they're stronger. Physically, they're probably weaker. But spiritually, they're stronger than they were when they gathered in. Because that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Verse 24. Well, that's 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Well, you're here this day. You've made a right choice. Your eyes are straight before thee. But I don't know what's in your thoughts. You don't know what's in my thoughts. I can shade my eyes with my eyelids. I can deviate a little bit to the left or the right. But that's not what we're asked to do. We're asked that our eyes look right on towards what? Towards that goal, towards the way that is Christ. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Seek the Lord. Counsel with Him. We read that in the Book of Mormon. Is it any surprise that it is borne out in the Bible? No. No surprise at all. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And as that light gains in strength, that flashlight will help me physically for a limited period of time. But spiritually, the light of Christ in my heart will help me how long? All my life, as I allow it. Will it be diminished? No. Will it be stronger? Yes. In Christ. In Christ. Turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Wouldn't it be neat if we all had the same Bible? I'd give you the page number. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Anybody run? I hate it. It hurts. I hate to run. But if you're given to running, to jogging, what happens if your hands hang down? They become heavy, don't they? There's an acid buildup, I believe, there from lack of proper circulation. And you're told to hold them up tight to you, that circulation may be increased, that buildup may not be there. Spiritually, we're told how to run. We're told how to walk. And if we listen to what we're told, they won't hang down. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. How many work like I do? Quite a few of you. That's a path that you have. How many live in a community, a neighborhood? Well, we all do. That's a different path. How many go to school? Great many of you. You find yourself in a path. Man, we're told here to make straight paths for your feet, wherever you're found, wherever you go, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Your eyes look straight ahead. The eyelids, do they seek to cover where your eyes look? To maintain that straight path, to look towards God, to look to Jesus Christ. Because if you come up lame, if it's easy to turn to the right, it makes that straight path ever more hard to come back. Straight path is easy if you maintain it in Christ. The straight path is marked before us if we maintain it in the abiding Comforter. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That's what God wants for each and every one of us, to allow us to be healed. If we were to turn to Matthew 3:3, John the Baptist said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Only one way. Prepare that way. Make His path straight. Talk to a lot of people. To make His path straight, what God has given you, it's either your burden, your delight, your talent, your skill, your drawback. But what you do with it, you're responsible for. To make His path straight. There's one way, and it's our choice. How we enter in. How we enter in. Now, each of you, as you have been gathered into Christ, become a fruit. And I mean that in the best sense of the word. You become a fruit. Something that Christ planned a long time ago for. In the Scriptures, it tells me that when He laid His life down, He was able to look down through the avenue of time and He saw His seed. He saw how His seed would be planted. and who that seed would grow up in, how it would blossom forth and bring forth fruit. And that's you and I that have entered in by that right way, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And inside each of you is the same thing that is inside this apple. The same thing. Now, to my horror, I went off without a knife. And so who did I ask for a knife? Jay. Now, this is the knife I chose. This is not the first one he pulled out of his pocket, though. He carries a knife. I didn't want it behind the pulpit. But it would have surely cut open this apple. Now, as I begin to cut that apple, what's inside it? Sure, somebody said it. There's seeds in that. Now, if we were to count seeds, if our brother Marvin were here and he knew the type of apple this was, he could tell us probably how many seeds in it. He knew apples. How many seeds do you think you have inside yourself as a fruit of Christ? You don't know. I don't know. But God does. God is able, as I did with that small knife, to open us up to measure our desires, the hope that we have within us. And we, what is inside each of you are seeds. Do you maintain those seeds? Well, you should maintain them. But you should also scatter them. Scatter. One of those songs, number 145 that Steve asked us to sing. Are you shedding light for Jesus? Are you witnessing for Him? And before that, I'm not sure what number it was. When Jesus has found you, tell others the story. That's what we are called to do, to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if we do that, and we are to take this word to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people, and fruit is to be born out of each of that. How do you do that? What did Enos do? Took his cares back to God. He sought God. And then when God answered him, he said, how is it done? Because of your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the same way that we are to take this gospel of Christ, that I am called to take this gospel of Christ to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. But each of you have a part in that. Because as you go throughout your life, the opportunity presents itself every time we interact with others. Every time you interact with others. How many people do you talk to in the course of a day? A lot. How many people share their burdens with you in the course of a day? Well, maybe a week or a month. Quite a few. How many times are you there when they are at their... or how we mirror the image of Jesus Christ. And Christ, if He has changed you, is readily apparent. How you share that with others. How we project ourselves and respond to others touches their lives in ways we are most often unaware. Most of the time you'll have no idea. Sometimes you will. But a seed planted, God is going to take care of. It's up to you to broadcast that seed. God will take care of it. God will nurture it. They'll remember. Maybe right away they'll ask you a question. Maybe in time they'll ask that question. It's their choice. Galileo said, you cannot teach a man anything. You can only help him discover it within himself. I'm pretty hard-headed. You'd have a hard time teaching me something. But if you help me discover it within myself, I'll remember it. And that's the way spiritually that we are to share with others. In Alma, the 13th chapter, it talks about how Aaron was able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the king of the Lamanites, his enemy. And he had to start on very simple terms. Very simple terms. Very simple seeds. But he discovered it, the king did, within himself. And he became a fruit to Christ. Very simple means. I look at Pat and my grandson, I look at Brett, and I'm amazed how fast he picks up. He really does. But they start simply. A touch. And who do they respond to the best? Their mother. The first one to touch them. They respond to taste. That child will put anything into his mouth. That's the first thing. His tongue comes out and he knows whether it's good or bad. People are the same way. But they respond. You start out simply with touch and taste, and that infant notices a rhythm to the way we talk. And Pat and Deborah talk baby talk that I don't understand, but Brett responds to it. I look forward to when he begins to pick up words, and then sentences, and then thoughts. Spiritually, people are the same way. Little children. Little children. Anyone can count the seeds in an apple, a physical apple. But no one can count the number of apples in just one of those seeds. Your day-to-day life touches and makes a difference with people. How they respond to it, God will nurture. God will bring it up. But it is up to you to make that effort. To make that effort. I was listening to a talk radio station. I forget what they were even talking about, but they used the word exponentially. Nifty word. And I remembered that from algebra. You can take an unknown variable. You can have a solution to a problem worked out. You can throw another unknown or a variable into that problem. It'll change the answer. Your efforts, simple efforts, affect God's work exponentially. But it's up to you to make that effort. It's up to you to make that choice. It's your path. But there's one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And we know Christ by a lot of names and titles. We know Christ by the term Savior. And we each know and understand that. We know Christ by the term Redeemer. How He is able to pull people out. Save them. We know Christ by the term King. No other. No other way. But do you know Christ as friend? That's a sobering question. Do you know Him as friend? It is my hope and my prayer that this body of Christ will work together as they have done in the past, as they continue to do this day and into the future, and the unknown variables that we put into the equation of life. I want it to be a fruitful harvest. I want every nation, kindred, tongue, and people to know Christ. And that causes you to stagger and to pull back. But I think the answer is very simple before us. Each day of our life, if we seek to know Christ as friend, then this will be established. This will come about. And it will, because it is the will of our Heavenly Father. But it's your choice. It's your path, as it is mine. Thank you.